Welcome to Daddy Versus Doctor. Here are your hosts, pediatrician Dr. Scott Cohen and comedian Sebastian Maniscalco.
Welcome to Daddy Versus Doctor. Just a small note here before we start. When we first started this podcast over a year ago, we used to change clothes for every episode.
That is true.
Now you can't tell what episode is which. This is the third episode in the same outfit.
Yeah, we used to put so much thought into it.
Oh, yeah. Now we're reading the questions as we get By the way, I have to tell you, I don't even know if you noticed, this is two episodes we did. He didn't say a damn thing. I have makeup on today.
Oh, I didn't notice.
That's how I care.
Why do you have makeup on?
I had a makeup artist come over to do a little trial to see what she can do or how she does makeup for the TV show that I'm about to shoot in April. So
second season?
Yeah. This is a little, not much, just a little base.
Are we plugging second season?
Second season of Bookie.
Great show.
Shooting April 2nd.
Are there actors? I always wanted this. Are there actors? Because actors get their pictures get taken all over town. Are there actors that wear makeup every single day?
I don't know. I don't wear makeup at all. I don't get pictures taken all over town. Although I got paparazzi'd. I got to tell you this.
Really?
Coming out of a restaurant, this was about 2 weeks ago, coming out of a restaurant, there was a guy with a camera there. I noticed.
Who was he there for?
Well, it's funny because I'm the type of celebrity that I don't get like Kardashian, when she gets photographed,
right. They're
hitting her in the restaurant as she's coming out, mm-hmm. right? Me, it's almost like, is it him? And there's no rush to take it because if you don't get it, big deal.
We're not selling copies of people.
This is not getting a lot of money. So he starts snapping away, right? And I go, it's about time. Because there's some people there I knew, and there's other people waiting for their valet. This guy, I made friends with him. Like, we asked him to take a photo of the people that we were with our camera. You know, most people come out like this, right. in the car. This guy's
doing your family photographs.
This guy was like, all right, get in the car. I got it. You know, like I was sitting there going, you want me with the car? You know, like, no, I don't wear makeup when I go out. That rarely happens. But I think he was there for obviously something.
Well, it's good makeup because I didn't notice.
All right. So.
Your face is your face.
Here's Ben from Chicago. We're going to do a little mailbag. We haven't done this in a while.
We're going to jump right in to the bag.
Ben from Chicago. My 12-year-old daughter is a political activist. Right there, I'm bothered already.
Wait, how old?
12.
12.
Wants to join protests and rallies for various causes. She's very passionate and outspoken, but she also gets into arguments and conflicts with her peers and teachers. How can I encourage her to be civically?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, that's a word I don't know. Engage without getting into trouble or compromising her safety. First of all, this whole thing with this young generation having a voice. I'm sorry. You should be protesting at 12. Mm-hmm. All right?
Yeah.
Go to school, come home, do the homework. You shouldn't be walking around with a sign on Main Street. Dr. Scott, do you have any tips on how to foster a positive and respectful dialogue?
Dialogue.
With the children. Fuck the mailbag. I'm sorry. It's just I've heard this multiple times with this. We're going to do a walkout. You ever hear this?
Yeah.
We're going to do a walkout at the school, 10 years old. You know what I would say about the principal? If you walk out, you can't come back.
I don't disagree 100% with what you're saying. I think it's become a little more trivial, I think, is the issue. That people do causes a lot just to do a cause and not because of the cause. I think that's my issue. no problem being involved in things. I think that's great to show you care about something. But then I think it should be something the child understands, they research, they're involved in, and we're not doing it just to say that, like you said, we walked or we sat or we did anything. I think there's got to be purpose behind it. I think a lot of the time that purpose is lost nowadays. It feels like that.
You know, when you can protest, when you leave the house, 18, 19, whatever the fuck, when Patrick left at 16, or when did you leave, 13?
13. With his knapsack.
Him and Huck Finn. Just strolling down the river.
When you leave the house, then you can start saying, I buddy got a kid, and they were going to do a walkout at the school at 10 years old. I forget what even the cause was. But you're right. They're not informed. Right. It's like, oh, what are we walking out for? And then the person is reiterating something they heard their parents say at home. I'm not into
or this. It's just based on something that we shouldn't, like you said, you know, oh, the teacher's giving grades. I don't want grades. We're all going to sit until there's no more grades at school. Like, there's something you just know. That's just not how it is.
So Ben, get some nuts and tell your daughter to go to her room. All right, you got anyone I got another one here.
Get some nuts.
My teenage son keeps using words that I don't understand, like yeet. This is from our other podcast.
Yeah, I have something to say about this.
Lit and sus. He says they're slang words that his friends uses online. How can I learn what these words mean and communicate better with him?
Watch our podcast. We go through it. Now, here's my problem with these words. My daughter started calling me bruh.
Oh.
Okay? I'm not your bruh. Do not call me bruh. It lights a fire in my brain when I hear that. My problem with the slang words are not the words themselves. Is if you're using them in regular conversation, you're going to use them in inappropriate circumstances as well. Around teachers, around job interview, right? Because it just becomes part of your language, and then you don't filter when you should use them. So don't use them. Use them among friends, but don't use them with – you have to know when the right time is. And if you call your parents bruh, that's not right.
I agree. Listen, we all used slang growing up and thought we were cool or whatnot. But when, like you said, when you're saying bruh to your father – and what do? You sit there and don't tell me
like,
that.
I'm not your bro. Like, stop. And then
– what is the consequence, like though? Is there, like, go to your room? What is it? Do you beat the shit out of him? What do you do?
Yeah, I go to my room. I go to my room I go to my room and I shut the door so I don't hear getting called bruh all the time. Is the consequence. The consequence when they're older is you removing yourself.
That works. Okay, dear father doctor, my teenage son keeps using these words. Okay, we got that.
All right, dear pediatrician, this is – oh, you got one?
No, go ahead.
Ah, dear pediatrician, they don't even know my name. We've been doing this for a year. Dear pediatrician. Dear doctor. There's somebody yesterday in the office said, I can't believe your staff calls you Cohen. Because remember, we talked about that on the episode. Cohen Lassa. Yeah, it's still happening.
Why?
Well, one, our staff doesn't listen to my show. Second of all, I don't know.
My shy eighth grader son lacks confidence to socialize. He has been burned by past exclusion. Despite my cheering, he quit sports to avoid competitive. How he now just wants solidarity.
You English
kickboxing, but I hope to gently coax camaraderie, not wanting pressure to further.
Is this
isolation.
Written in fragments, or you're just reading every other word?
This is how could I not push this sensitive soul to find kindred spirit? This is a joke, bro. I'll never send a question like this in again. You have to worry about your eighth grade son. You got to go worry about your English and your writing skill sets. I'm sorry. I'm not even answering that.
This is a good one. This is a good one for you, who shows your daughter murder scenes in movies. Dear doctors, I'm Olivia, dear doctors, that's great.
Wow.
You become a doctor now. That's awesome. Dear doctors, you're watching the wrong show. There's only one. I'm Olivia from Nashville. My four-year-old seems to have an extreme fear of bugs. How can we help him overcome this fear or at least manage it better? I mean, I know what you would do. Dump bugs on him.
Kids don't like spiders. Every time they see a spider, like, daddy, come and kill it. So I come and kill a spider, and then that's that. We, you know, kids are going to be scared of bugs.
I don't think we have to flood them with bugs eventually.
I'm really kind of nervous, actually, listening to these and reading these questions of who's listening to the show. Uh-huh. I mean, if this is the IQ of the show, you might as well just throw it in the garbage.
Yeah. Oh. Here's a good one for you. Hello, it's Lisa from Atlanta. My son thinks he's an alien sent to study human behavior. Should I play along or bring him back to Earth?
How old?
It doesn't say an age. Probably 17.
Yeah, an age would help in addressing that question. If the kid's 18, we need to send him away. And then if the kid's 2, okay, fine. Okay. First off, I love the podcast and the new studio. The guest episodes have been amazing. Here is my bag. My daughter loves to play pranks on me and her siblings, such as putting salt in the sugar jar, hiding our shoes, and making fake phone calls.
I love it.
Sometimes I find them funny, but other times they're annoying and disruptive and dangerous. How can I teach her to respect boundaries and know when to stop? Do you encourage pranks as a way to have fun? Sandy Shankers.
Shankers
from Seattle.
I like a little bit of good-hearted pranks. Not so bad. If it's dangerous, I agree. Like, if we're putting arsenic in the sugar bowl, then we got issues. We should teach that lesson. So I think teaching right from wrong is important, but having these little games, I think it's fun, right? You don't like it?
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to disagree on multiple levels here.
What?
I'm all up for a prank. Yeah. It's just the salt and the sugar.
I mean, one time? Not constant.
Fake phone calls? I ain't into this shit.
Well, what's the fake phone? I don't know.
Making fake phone calls?
What's fake phone calls?
I don't know, like calling and going, hey, you know.
To other people? To random people?
The house is on fire. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
No, that's not good. And we shouldn't be making fake phone calls to other people because that can be dangerous. So that gets into dangerous things.
You're late for work. Your shoes are missing. You find that funny? I'm not going, oh, who took my shoes?
All right. Well, maybe these aren't good examples of pranks. I was thinking lighthearted pranks. Put a little...
This is serial... You
know, put cellophane over the toilet bowl.
This is a killer.
A little
behavior.
Splash.
To be in prison.
You ever do that? Rocks under the pillowcase?
No.
Don't do that.
We don't do pranks. And growing up, we did pranks. We got... But first of all, you don't do pranks in my house. My father would put an end to that really quick.
I want to meet this kid. This kid's awesome. Hi, it's Karen from Phoenix. My five-year-old son has developed an odd habit of narrating everything he does, like he's the host of his own cooking show. How should I react? I think that's phenomenal. I want to meet that kid. I want to have dinner with him. Can you imagine if we just narrated our whole life? Scott's going to walk up to the mic right now. <It's good. laughs> That'd be amazing. I'm going to spend a day. Actually, thanks, Karen from Phoenix. I'm going to go home today and I'm going to narrate everything my two girls do. It's going to annoy the crap out of them. It'll be awesome. And Aubrey's going to her room right now. She's going to go talk to Ava. Yep. She's on Instagram again. That'd be amazing. I'm going to do that.
The relationship you have with you and your kids at this point, if you start narrating what they're doing,
it won't change anything.
They'll tie you up.
It won't change anything. Will not change anything.
Hold on, just reading this. Yes. Here, my 10-year-old son is a victim of online trolling and cyberbullying. Wow. He is constantly harassed and mocked by anonymous users on social media and gaming platforms. He is very upset and depressed, and he doesn't want to talk to anybody about it. How can I protect him and help him recover from this ordeal. Sebastian, do you let your kids go online? Dr. Scott, do you have any suggestions on how to prevent and deal with online trolling and cyber bullying? Do my kids go online? No. The only time they're allowed to use an iPad is for an hour each day over the weekend, so Saturday and Sunday. The games are educational, and pretty much what's going on here.
This is a scary topic. I had a patient, teenager, that was catfished. You know what catfishing is? Yeah. So mom told me this horrible story. So he met what he thought was a girl online that he was talking to.
How old? Good.
He was 14. And he's talking to her. And then they, you know, throughout these conversations, he's giving these people, ended up being a group, a nefarious group. He's giving them information. He's giving them parents' name. He's giving them birth dates. He's giving them what they do for work. He's doing all these things. And then the mom found out because she walked in because the person said, I want to do a video chat for the first time. And the video chat came on and it was a man. And the mom heard the man's voice and he says, if you don't send me X amount of money, I'm going to release that all this information. And I've made dummy websites about your parents. And he had sent some pictures. And I'm going to put these pictures out there. And the mom got on and said, absolutely not. And they called the police and they said, no, you hope it just goes away. But it's scary because his mom has to worry about, they have her name. The guy showed these dummy websites they were going to do about, you know, sexual things and all this stuff. And it could ruin his life, could ruin the parents' life. Really scary. You can't do these things.
Don't you wish, though? The guy's up on the screen.
Yeah.
Right? This is my fantasy. I'm gonna release these websites if you. Oh yeah, you're gonna get a knock on your door in 3 minutes, right? And the guy's like, well, "I'm sorry." If you had the ability to do this, right. would you do this?
Mm-hmm.
Knock on the door in 3 minutes, and you actually had somebody at this guy's house, yeah. Right? And he opens the door, and there's three guys in ski masks. No,
and you're done.
Well, okay,
teach him a lesson.
It's over. That's the problem today, that we don't have a threat level.
Yeah, there's no repercussions, but it's hard to find. These people are all overseas, and they're all done. But that's scary. I mean, you have to teach with, like you do early on with your kids, internet safety and etiquette, and that we're not talking to people we don't know. You just have to assume anybody you're talking to, unless you know them and have seen them in real life, is a weird 40-year-old man trying to troll you.
Right,
that's the issue nowadays.
The advice here, Sarah from Iowa, is take away the phone. Take away the phone, take away the iPad. Any access this kid has to online, he's off it. And then he don't see it, right?
Yeah, but this child also needs therapy, obviously, because he's been going through a lot. He's in a depression, so he needs help as well. Mental health is important. The biggest problem... The biggest cause of mental health in today's youth is this internet stuff.
Yeah, I don't see any benefit to the internet whatsoever.
I guess I'm like so, I'm so naive. Well, you get your holiday cards there. The idea of internet bullying doesn't make sense to me because why don't you just turn it off? You can't get bullied if it's not there.
So I'm saying, you don't go look.
So that's why I don't understand. Like you're getting bullied, then... Back in school, if you got bullied, guess what you did? You took a different hallway, so you didn't see that kid at school, right? So with the internet, just turn it off. I know.
Well, the bullying, and I don't know if we talked about my bullying growing up. With,
you got bullied?
Didn't we talk about?
No.
But maybe we bleep that out. I don't think she's in a good place.
KB. No.
Her name was Kim. We called her Kim Kong.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
Sixth grade, on the bus for the first time, I'm the first pickup. I have the whole bus.
Yeah.
I go to the back seat. I'm like, I didn't know. Yeah. Bus etiquette. Couple stops go, and Kim Kong gets on the bus. And she comes in the back. She's like, what are you doing back here? And I said, oh, I'm just going to school. She's like, this is our seat. Go up in the front. I said, oh, okay. up in the front. It's about a 15-minute ride to school, and the whole 15 minutes I'm getting pegged with spitballs right in the back of the head.
Kim.
Fuck. Kim Kong and her cohorts in the back. So I get off the bus, right? I go to field, and I got, at least, 10 to 12 spitballs in my hair. Came home, I told my father and mother, I said, listen, I'm getting spitballed on the bus. And my father's like, all right, what do you want me to do about it? And he's like, oh, could you talk to the bus driver or something? You know, I ain't talking to nobody. You deal with it. You deal with it. All right. You know how I dealt with it?
Yeah.
By the end of the month, I was in the back with everybody because I made everybody laugh. That was my key to getting people to like me, right? So if I would have never got spitballed by Kim Kang.
Yeah, we wouldn't be at the Win this weekend.
We wouldn't be here right now.
So what, did she stop because you were telling jokes?
Yeah, no, she's like, oh, he's cool. He's cool, because I was like,
I was all through junior high.
You had
high school.
To be bullied. Jesus Christ.
I was actually pretty cool in my head. Now, there was a kid, Danny. He was half my size. He punched me in the arm every time he saw me through junior high school. Every time we walked by each other, he punched me in the arm and like, like one of those laughs. Why'd he do it? Because I didn't do anything. Never said anything. Never did anything back. Just took it. So I would avoid. I would go different hallways. But every time he saw me, he punched me in the arm. And that was it. Years later, probably now it's been like 10 years ago, so 20 years after high school, Coffee Bean up on Sunset, walking in.
I told us a
story. Oh, all right. So he was there. Well, nobody heard it there. He was there. I wanted to punch him in the arm so bad.
He should have done it.
He came up like nothing. Hey, so good to see you from high school. How you been? Big hug. What are you up to? I want to clock him.
He gave you a hug?
I want to clock him.
Here's my fantasy.
I want to clock him.
He gives you a hug. You get on his back.
He's like a spider.
A UFC.
Spider monkey.
In the middle of the like coffee bean, you put this guy to sleep. And you leave him there.
Anyway, with a note. You remember high school? I do. Punch me in the arm. Still hurts.
I want to get into 16 years old.
Yeah, let's talk about this.
Aubrey's turning 16, and I think a lot of parents out there are going through this. They're going to drive. Uh-huh. Do you give them an old beater?
I know.
Do you give him or her a nice new car? What are we doing over
no,
at the
No, so I'm torn. So she passed her written test. She just was out last weekend with the driver's ed guy in the Prius. Oh, we took pictures of that. That was funny. You know, he comes in his Prius and she's walking around the car, inspecting the car. And so now, yeah, she's going to take her, she'll turn 16 in March. And the question is, what do we do? Like you said, you got a hand-me-down, I got a hand-me-down. I mean, you're fortunate just to get a hand-me-down. Not everybody gets cars. I mean, that's a big privilege. We have an old van that I drive. I mean, is she going to drive the van? I don't know. I don't know, even know if it's
old
like.
Old van? Where's that at?
We have the Honda Odyssey, where I used to sleep at night when we got in fights. No, I'm kidding.
I don't think you are.
No. It has a great movie screen in the back. It's phenomenal. Then we have the Honda Odyssey. So driving around in a big van, but it's an older car. We wanted to have I think the biggest thing, safety is so important. We wanted to have like a super safe car. And then I was thinking like, right, do you buy something? Or then what happens? Because my next one, then in 3 years, she gets her driver's license. Now you're buying another one, or do you lease? So then that one goes to college and then the second one can lease a different one, or she inherits that. Cause they're not going to be happy. Not that it's up to them, but one's not going to be happy with the other one's hand-me-down. Well, she got one and I didn't get one. It's the whole deal. I don't know. What would you do? Or you just say, no, you're not getting a car.
Well, God, I don't even know how I'm going to react when Serafina and Caruso start driving, because this ain't the Northwest suburbs of Chicago.
Right.
This is LA. I mean, here, I'll give you an example. We just went through a flood, right?
Right.
I came home. This is where you're getting old.
A flood. First of all, for the East Coast, it was like a drizzle. It's just that LA has no infrastructure, that this place crumbles when it rains.
True. Well, that causes flooding.
Yeah.
Right. Especially, I Saturday night I was at the Ice House in Pasadena, and on my way there, right, I hit the first puddle.
Yeah.
You ever hit a puddle and you could like hear it on the undercarriage of the boom. And I hit it and I'm like, should I go back? You know, that's where I'm at. This used to be fun to go through puddles with the car.
Now you lost something.
Now I'm going through puddles and it all comes back on the window. And I'm like, I can't see. I'm going through and there's debris.
The potholes are crazy.
Yeah, potholes you can like, fall in.
Not even potholes. Like half the road is missing. You have to go around. You could drive right through a pothole. You actually usually sped up. Now these, you bottom out. Your car is done.
No, I mean, I don't even know how your car takes water because the battery is on the bottom.
The Tesla
of the
turns
car.
Into a boat. It's fine. It's a Tesla boat.
I got a thing on Tesla. I'm reading the Elon Musk book.
Yeah.
Have you read it yet?
No, I want to read it.
This guy's amazing. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, we should have him on. He has a bunch of kids.
We should have him on. We can't even get
We can get him.
Who's the last
guy? The guy has lots of kids. He probably has he has a lot to say about a parenting, I'm sure. Elon, let's talk.
So, yeah. Now, your kid is going to drive in this stuff?
Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine.
I know, but it doesn't rain that much. I feel like, you know, there is a part, thankfully, you know, if she got a car, it is actually helpful for the household because she has a lot of activities. So she could drive there. She could actually take our other daughter to places. It helps spread out the duty. So there is a benefit to it. Safety, I just go back to the safety factor. And then do you allow, right? The other conversation is, do you allow her to be with her friends? You know, they're always joking around. They're giggling. You're not paying attention. So, you know, I think the laws are set up that there's a certain amount of time before she can drive alone with people of a certain age. So that's good. But, you know, she just went out to dinner after soccer yesterday with an upperclassman, a junior, who had her license. My wife was like, oh, how long have you had your license? She's like, oh, I'm a great driver. 8 months. All right. So like, that's the difference. And they went to dinner together and that was fine. It's like one stretch. But Aaron was like, you know, if it starts raining and pouring or visibility, please call. We'll come get you. Things like that. But I think I think it's going to happen.
I hear the safety concern. That's a lot of parents going, it's a safety concern. When I was driving, the other car in the house was a 1982 Cadillac Seville. White wall tires, beautiful looking car, spoked rims. My mother loved the car. There was an issue every time you pressed the gas, the car would shut off. All right?
It's probably an issue, yeah.
They gave me that car to drive, right?
Yeah.
Knowing that every once in a while, what is it, a helicopter landing on that roof?
They're looking for you. I have spotlights coming through the window, you know.
This is
your paparazzi.
You know what this Congrats. Is? No. Yeah. You know what this is? Somebody fell off the mountain.
How do you fall off the mountain?
A car.
Really?
I gotta look. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Hey, you know what? You don't get that in a lot of podcasts.
Because most podcasts are in a dungeon.
You don't get mobile outside the studio helicopter stuff. I mean.
So let's go back. So how do you do, because we've talked about privilege before and it's a tough one. Like, is it privilege? Oh, you got a new car for your 16th birthday. You know, you don't want to do that. But at the same time, are you going to do it?
You're going to do it. She'll be driving a Caddy. SUV.
Not a Caddy.
Right? Airbags
on. Here's the other thing. You mentioned my car, my Tesla. We didn't want her to learn on the Tesla. Because Tesla, you know, the braking is very different. You just take your foot off the accelerator, you brake. When you're learning to drive a car, you have to learn how the accelerator and the brake work.
All right.
So she's learning on a regular car first.
Tesla, you take your foot off the accelerator and the car stops?
Yeah. I rarely ever use my brake. I can drive from here to my house and never put my foot on the brake.
So it It just knows.
It's called regenerative braking. So basically what happens is when you, as you remove your foot from the accelerator, the car slows down. So if you time it right, I can pull right up to a stop sign. The car stops by just taking my foot off the accelerator.
Yeah, but does the car know that there's another car in ahead of it? Like, what?
It has that too. But I'm just saying in general, where you would normally accelerate, brake, accelerate, with the Tesla, it's degrees of acceleration adapt your speed and your braking.
Well,
yeah.
It sounds like I wouldn't be able to drive that car.
No, you would. I mean, you have to do a short stop. Yeah, you slam on the brake like any other car, but I can be in traffic and it's just like I press the accelerator, I'm going a certain speed, I let off the accelerator, I'm slowing down, up the car stop, my car stops.
Wow. Yeah, so I guess a Tesla probably is not a good option for,
not for the
a,
first car.
Yeah, for a first car.
So she likes, you know which one she likes?
Oh, so are you already shopping?
No, she's no.
We so you started this conversation with the van.
No. She's, of course she says what she likes. That's not what we're getting. I want her to have, I still have my Jeep Wrangler from 2000. But Aaron, it's, she says it's not safe. It has an airbag, but other than that, it probably has nothing.
Where are all these cars?
I
go to your house, I see two cars.
There's a van on the road. The Wrangler is, my parents have it.
Okay.
Back. But so what is she it's like? A cool car, and I like it too. I like the car, the Ford Bronco, the new Ford Bronco.
Oh, is that with the lights? They're kind of like.
It looks the Ford Bronco. The... It looks like it's nice because it looks like the old school Ford Bronco.
Oh, it does.
Yeah,
I thought it had those lights that were
pull like... it up. It's a cool looking car. I have to look at safety profiles and things like this.
What's the cost?
About
$40,000. Jesus.
And probably it's going to be right because then you're going to get every safety possible thing on there. So who knows what it ends up being. But I, you know, yeah. But then I was thinking, see, it's cool, right?
Yeah. That's
it's like the old, it's like
fun, you know?
Yeah. It's like the old version. I love the convertible, but I think convertible are probably not safe. The hardtop's cool. Oh, it's a cool looking car.
We went, my first actual car that I bought with half of my money and my dad bought with half of his money was the Plymouth Laser 1991, if you want to bring that up.
Yeah.
Plymouth Laser. Mitsubishi had the Eclipse. Of course, we didn't get that because the Japanese was more money. So we got the Plymouth Laser 1991. Now, we went in to go buy this vehicle, my father and I, brand new. Yeah, red. It was like this. That was it. But that's cheaper. My hubcaps look like crap. It's all about
it's
the
got
wheels.
Nice lines.
No, it was nice. It was nice.
Like a Datsun.
Yeah. We got kicked out of four dealerships negotiating the price. My father didn't want to pay for like normal, like it's, he's like, what's the destination fee? Why do I got to pay that? You got to get the car here anyway.
Right.
Why do I got to pay $435?
I can only imagine negotiating with your father.
They told him, get out of here, sir. We don't want to sell a car to you. I've never seen anybody get kicked out of a dealership before.
That's funny. Bought used? Because that's the thing. I've never actually bought used. That's also an option. Like you can, a couple years old, drops the value a lot.
Never bought a used car.
I always feel like something happened to it that they're not telling me.
I feel like you buy a used car, I just like, I don't know. <It's> like, I'd rather have brand new and like.
With the upcharge.
Well, brand new and like low cost than more expensive and used.
Right.
I just, a used car, I just like, you always look around, there's like, oh, I got a used car. And then you walk in, it's never like immaculate.
Yeah.
There's always like a cigarette burn. Like, what happened that night?
I don't know where you're getting used cars. There's always a stain in the trunk. Stain. I don't know. Yeah, right. So I would like our audience to send pictures of their first cars.
Oh, this is our new thing.
I want to see what people give me some options for teenage first cars and what your first car was.
Yeah. Right. That's here. Right here on the Dave Versus Doctor
show. Immediately right now.
Turned into Auto Trader.
I could use some advice.
Join us next week here on Daddy Versus Doctor, where we will have no guests. Thank you.
opinions expressed in this program are not intended as professional medical advice, as a diagnosis, as a treatment protocol, or as a substitute for professional medical advice from your physician. Please consider your own medical history and consult with your own physician for your specific healthcare and/or medical needs and about your concerns for yourself and your family.